11:30, as promised, we're going to be talking to the Shaved Pigs from New York City. Anybody there?
With me on the phone this evening is Brendan and Ron from the New York City band The Shaved Pigs. Why don't you guys say hello?
Hello.
Hello there.
Okay, why don't we get into the questions right now? We're going to be playing some of your music later on. Does the name Shaved Pigs have any significance to the band?
Yeah, it does. You know, someone sent us this clipping about, what did this clipping have? This clipping had, it was from a veterinarian's book, and what it was a pictorial explaining how to neuter a pig. And what you have to do is you got to hold the pig upside down and between your legs, and then someone else has to slit his testicles, the left and then the right, and then you rip out this white thing. You rip it out till it snaps. And then you paint the testicles with...
antiseptic.
That's it. Pig antiseptic. And after that, then you go on to the next pig. And I guess that's the closest thing to what a shaved pig could possibly be.
Okay.
It's Ron after he's shaved.
The band's been around for 3 years, but it hasn't been until recently that you've really put some albums out, a 45 or late in 86, and now the new album, Breakfast is Served. Why the delay in recording?
Our drummer was in jail. Essentially, he went nuts after smoking crack for about a year. And, after 8 cops beat him nearly to death with their nightsticks, they threw him in jail, and he still hasn't gotten out, but it took us a long time to break in a new drummer. And the drummer we recorded with, he's no longer with us. We have a new drummer. Once again, we're kind of like Spinal Tap in that respect. But you can't record unless you know the songs really well, and we didn't know the songs very well. So basically after so many personnel changes, there really wasn't a hell of a lot we could do. We were just kind of stymied by it.
Yeah, right. Another big thing is money, because that's the only way you can get records out is, you know, money. Let's see, no one wanted this album, that's for sure. I mean, you know how those independent record places are, those independent record companies are. I don't know exactly what their method is for going around picking bands. I mean, they do have some great bands. I mean, I'm independent. Record companies to put out some really good stuff. A lot of them put out crap. But, general, no one wanted us. So, we've managed to get the money together. It took about a year. And, got the money together and put out the album. That's about it.
Now, the songs on Breakfast is Served, are the songs old songs, or are they totally new songs written for the album?
Well, several of the songs were from a band we were previously known as, which is Social Insecurity. And if you've noticed, there's another New York band now that uses the name Social Insecurity. Well,
right.
I think we were the original Social Insecurity, because this was many years ago. About 50% of the songs were written back then. The only changes that were made for the album were the lyric changes that our lead singer Roy implemented when he rewrote everything, basically.
I wouldn't say 50% did come from Social Insecurity.
Well, yeah.
Well, five songs came from Social Insecurity. In fact, another one's coming up on the EP that we finished recording.
Reading the lyrics in some of the songs, I guess if someone had to classify your band, it would probably be yuppie punk. Because most of the songs do deal with big business, work, those type of topics. In fact, you know, bureaucrat die for profits.
if you read the lyrics, you'll see that those songs are mostly critical of big business and bureaucracy. I don't know. I think our attitude in general is just to give authority hell, you know, just to cause problems for the people in charge. You know, I mean, Roy wrote most of the lyrics. The themes of the songs were kind of old themes we'd been using for a long time, but Roy put in the new lyrics mostly. And he just, you know, he has a sense of humor, and you know, just like the rest of us, we're not so far left. Like the Dead Kennedys is a very left band, but you know, neither are we moderate, and you know, we try and approach things with a sense of humor. I mean, you know, there are all the songs, there's wit in there, you know, mm-hmm. or at least attempts at wit at its worst. But yeah, we're pretty much just like poking fun at people, maybe trying to get people to realize where they're wrong or where faults lie, in, you know, especially in like businesses and things like that.
Well, bureaucrats seem to take on the phone companies.
Right, well, yeah, well, that's Roy. Well, one thing about Roy is he hates the world many times a day, I'm sure. He hates his job. He hates everything. He's the most pleasant guy in the world.
He really is,
except he just hates the entire system. And
the combine.
He hates his work, he hates his job, he hates everything.
Does he hate the band?
No, he likes the band.
Finally, one thing he likes.
Well, that's where he could get it out, I gather.
It's just a challenging mentality. I mean, it's a challenge mentality. You know, just really, like, basically, like I said, saying, you know, here where we think you're bad, you know, listen to this song, or at least consider the message in the lyrics.
Promotions as a favor he expects you to repay. You think you're fucking grateful for the favor? Just tell me who it is, I should be afraid. You're a bureau, you work for Sona. You love your work, you're just another quirk. Your boss hates you, another human super girl. You're a bureau, you pay. One day you'll be in charge of your whole sentence. Feet on the desk is where you'll be alive. And then you'll get the thing you worked so hard for. A fatal heart attack at 44.
Another song which I'm surprised to see on an album while the trial is still undergoing away is the Wild Sex Killed Jenny. Was there any hesitation to put a song like that on the album?
None whatsoever. None at all. In fact, it's an amazing song. It's the song Wild Sex Killed Jenny. The title was a Post headline. It was a headline in the New York Post. You know, the song I think is more not necessarily just about the Chambers trial, but just about, you know, sensationalism and how, you know, he's the preppy killer and, like, he comes from his moneyed Upper East Side, you know, family and, you know, for all I know, they'll probably bring out that he was on the Mayflower with Sidney Biddle Barrows. I have no idea. But, you know, it seems, you know, it's just, I think the whole trial's a joke. In that Chambers is getting so much attention for, you know, when you consider that all he is a killer.
Yeah, he's a killer. What are you talking about?
All right, an alleged killer. Oh, give me a break. You're such a pig.
Come on. What was she?
So you get just, you know, just because your girlfriend wants to have sex with you, does that mean you have to go and kill her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised we're sitting here with Claudia right now because, I mean, if it were up to you, I guess all women would die because they want to have sex once in a while.
Yeah, but if I told Claudia, no, you know, forget about it. I really don't want to do it now. I'm all coked up. party would
That's not
up.
Necessarily
I'm
true.
Sure, I'm sure Jenny over there probably said, listen, I really want it now, and you're going to give it to me. If you don't give it to me, you're going to have to kill me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the point of the matter
See, that's
is,
why we don't let Ron write songs. You know, the beginning to She's Pop, if you listen to the beginning of She's Pop, the part about the, you know, sitting on a park bench, Ron
right.
wrote that. Ron also wrote the first part of Don't Ask What For, the part that goes, I really hate you. I mean, you know, that's his mentality. I think Ron is basically an oaf, okay? I mean, it's, you know, some people might consider it in the vein of Warhol genius, but I think it's just stupid.
You say I killed a girl, but the guy who owns the bar, call in the comfort shrink, but I think I can cut. Oh, God, I can't pay my way. I can't live off my hooks more than you any day. I know all cops are crooks, but not for burglary. I tell the post I'm scared, say, wow, six kill Jenny Rikers is pretty weird. Dave, I was born to run, still got my dad or jeans, dirty and header it, and in it, what do my drawings mean? Not my fault, it's not my fault.
I can pick that up from
you. No, we really don't. It's a, you know, we like each other. It's just that we constantly argue. It's the only thing we can get, only way we can get anything done.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We were hanging out in downtown Beirut, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago. And Andy just, we have a new drummer, Andy Mellon. We call him Andy too. And, we were putting up posters or flyers for our CB's gig, and then we went down to downtown Beirut. And Andy started beating the shit out of everyone in the band.
Hey, watch your mouth. This is radio.
Sorry. Andy beating up everyone in the band. He started with me. I had bronchitis, and I really couldn't deal with it. And I just got a new pair of glasses, and my glasses blew up. But later on that evening, Andy and Brenda, I was inside having a drink. Small bar. I came out for a little bit of air, and I see Andy and Brendan beating the crap out of each other. Brendan's knee is dripping with blood. So Andy doesn't like anyone in the band. Roy hates everything. Brendan really doesn't like me. He's always making fun of me. I think Brendan sleeps all day long. I really don't like Brendan. We're left with Mike Berger. Everyone hates Mike Berger because he wears little slippers when he plays.
Earlier on, you said to cut out that certain word that Ron said. On the album, you do have a little warning, but it's in such small type.
The warning was kind of a joke. See, one of my favorite things to talk about is the PMRC, and those real crazy right-wing fanatic censorship-oriented organizations. I mean, I talk for hours on this, so you better not get me started. But that was a joke. You know, we really don't expect anyone to ask their parents if they can buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing is when we, you know, the album took a year to get out. When we started setting in the artwork for the album, or when we started setting up the artwork for the album, that's when the crap with Jello started, and it seemed necessary to put it on. We didn't want to get into any trouble, I gather.
Well, there's also sort of like a reference to Ozzy here, too, that if you do plan to kill yourself, do not leave this album on your record player.
Right. I know.
So you're covering all bases.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was a joke.
Not really. I mean, it wasn't a total joke since I wrote that part, but I didn't consider it a joke at all. I mean, I was dead serious. Another thing we had to worry about was, as Brendan mentioned before, we took material from Social Insecurity, or a band called Social Insecurity, and Brendan wrote these songs, and, you know, when you the real reason, on the single, the 7-inch, or the Shea Pig 7-inch, another singer was on there, and his name was Peter Neamy, And Cheetah ran into some problems, and he pretty much flipped out. He was kicked out of school, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we didn't want Peter coming after us for all these, royalties and whatnot. Not that we're going to get any for this album, but we didn't need that either. And so that's why we wrote the little, or I wrote the little blurb about, you know, anyone claiming credit for the music and or lyrics can go blank. Him/herself, and that was necessary. And then after that, that was the biggest concern. After that, you know, Jello, the Super Jello, I guess Ozzy, we just put everything in.
One question, you know, for Brendan, with the Jello case declared a mistrial, do you think the PMC will still crack down? Do you think they'll let up a bit?
No, because the PMRC doesn't really attack bands and musicians as individuals. In this case, it wasn't they who took on, you know, the Dead Kennedys and Alternative Tentacles. It was, you know, it was the Los Angeles County Sheriff, you know, the DA.
Right.
But the pressure was really on record warehouse. They put pressure on the record companies, corporations that are distributing these things. I mean, there are some record stores in the country where you can't go in and buy a Dead Kennedys album because groups like the PMRC, with all their political pull, you know, Howard Baker's wife is in the PMRC, Tipper Gore's wife, guy's a, you know, a senator. These people have a lot of political clout, and they can get a lot done for the major labels if they will conform to the standards they want to set for the society. And it really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, we're more apt to suffer on the end that we can't get our records distributed and, you know, our things put out, because none of the record stores will take them if they think there's a risk that the PMRC and groups like that will come down on them.
That's not true. None of the record shows will take them because they just don't know about it.
Well, no, I'm not speaking us, you know, as us. I'm saying just indie labels and, you know, punk records in general.
Well, if the Shaved Pigs had an offer from a major label, mm-hmm. but you had to tone down your lyrics.
Never.
No.
Way. That's what I consider selling out. I'd never do it. I'd quit the band if they were going to do something like that.
I don't think anyone would be into it, so we wouldn't be able to do what we want to do. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a scary situation. We were tossing around like signing with an indie label if we were offered. You know, I think just having someone else deciding what you put out when, you know, or deciding whether to give you money or not it's too much of a restriction. I mean, it, you know, not that anything we do is particularly wild or offensive or anything like that. It's just that it's what we want to do, and we don't want to have people telling us that we can't do something. Yeah.
Right. Well, you have a new record coming out early next year.
Right, which should be out in March, hopefully, if we get paid for the Breakfast is Served. Well, right now, Breakfast is Served, there's 1,100 copies out, and
Well, how about giving an address if someone wants to mail order it?
The address is 225 Central Park West, Suite 914, New York, New York, 10025. 24. 10024.
Send it to Porcine Records.
Or The Shaped Pigs or Ron Papka. Get to them either way.
And how much is the record selling for?
Well, if you picked it up off of this, we'll give it to you for... $4. $4. Anyone who's listening to this gets it for $4. $4.
Can't be beat.
Can't be beat, no.
I think that, I don't know, how concerned we are with making a lot of money off it, you know?
No, there's no money to be made. If you break even, if we could break even after the next one, I mean, I would consider ourselves lucky, but the chances of that happening are slim to none, but really, who cares as long as you can just play what you want to play.
And talking about playing, you're going to have a show in Brooklyn this week.
Right, Ladderbox.
It's at 335 Prospect Avenue. If you take the F train from Manhattan, it's about 10 minutes from West 4th Street. The subway stop is 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. And it's 335 Prospect Avenue between 6th and 7th Avenues.
And that's this Saturday, the 7th?
November 7th, right. Yeah, at midnight.
Yeah, I think there are two other bands playing with us. And, One band's called The Original Rays, and the other band's called Orange Colored Fur Hand. And,
yeah, it's different once you get out of Manhattan, you know, once you get out of the CBGB's Ritz, you know, that set, once you get into the outer boroughs, things get a lot cheaper, bars are a lot cheaper, etc. Which is good, I'm glad to see things are happening in Brooklyn because, you know, everyone in New York is only out to make a buck. You know, and they'll charge you $3 for a beer at the Ritz or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
And, you know, it's good that things are happening in the outer boroughs because another thing is a lot of people are moving out of Manhattan into the outer boroughs. Like, a lot of the artists are clearing out of the Lower East Side and moving into the outer boroughs because it's a lot cheaper to live there.
That's because the yuppies are coming in.
Yeah, the yuppies are moving in.
Well, with the stock market crash, they might not be moving in so quickly.
Yeah, we have to write a song about that one now. That's the next thing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't wait for the Depression, that's for sure. Once the Depression hits, this type of alternative music is really going to get a lot better, I would hope.
Because when the establishment messes up, people tend to go with bands that kind of challenge the establishment.
Well, besides that, I mean, people aren't going to be taking their trips to Europe and whatnot, and they're going to be bummed about that, so they're not going to want to listen to Madonna, that's for sure, I mean, about her clothes and everything like that, so, I mean, they'll just
turn around. The Material Girl.
Right, Material Girl, right, they're not going to be able to relate to that, they're going to be able to relate to something like Bureaucrat and, you know,
the people that have ruined their lives.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will happen, and that will benefit all the bands that are struggling or that are trying to, you know, get their music out, get their music across to people. And I think the best thing that could possibly happen to all of us that are trying to do this is a big depression. You know, it'll just be great. It'll be fantastic. Sorry, I mean, I hope no one gets screwed over for it. I hope people don't start killing themselves and jumping out of windows, but I would like to see alternative music be a little stronger, be a more
dominant force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there doing really a lot of good work, the fanzines, and of course the radio stations. The radio stations are doing a tremendous job, and the magazines, and of course the bands. That's the alternative music system, and it's, I don't know, everything leans on each other.
I'd like to thank you guys for taking the time to talk to me.
No problem.
And good luck for your show later, Bax.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I still remember.
The Shaved Pigs here on Turmoil with Slam. Songs in order of appearance during the interview started off with Bureaucrat, followed by Wild Sex Kill Jenny, Kid on a Leash, and Slam. And that's from their new record, Breakfast is Served. As you heard them say, it's available for $4. You're not going to find a record that cheap anywhere else. And you can write to them, The Shaved Pigs, care of Porcine Records, 225 Central Park West, Suite 914, New York, New York, 10024. I'd like to thank the band once again, Ron and Brendan, for taking the time out to talk to me. Check them out at Laterbacks this weekend in Brooklyn if you can. That wraps it up for me, Steve Kreitzer. I'll be back again next Wednesday night at 10:30. If I didn't get to your request tonight, I'll definitely get to them next week. Going to end up with one last request. This is Murphy's Law, California Pipeline. Have yourselves a safe and a good week.